Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jim Dubois to the broadcast. Jim is the Corporate Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Microsoft. In that role, he's responsible for the company's global security, infrastructure, IT messaging, and business applications. Jim was appointed interim CIO in May of 2013 and was appointed to the post full-time in January of 2014. Jim has been with Microsoft since 1993, where he started work in various positions, including international stints in London and Tokyo. His previous positions within Microsoft have included posts as Director of IT Client Services, General Manager of the Service Management Division, Chief Information Security Officer, and Vice President of Microsoft Products and Services. Before joining Microsoft, Jim worked in various positions with Accenture, where he focused on financial aid distribution systems. Jim received his Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and Business from the University of Washington. I recently caught up with Jim from his office in Redmond, Washington, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed his career journey within Microsoft. Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we discussed his past role as Chief Information Security Officer and the way in which he manages security today. Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed IT's role in acting as the glue across the enterprise and the way in which he has been able to be a customer advocate, especially in those situations where the Microsoft customer is a Chief Information Officer, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as Strategic Facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Jim Dubois, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, Jim, I thought we would begin with your role. You are the Chief Information Officer of Microsoft, of course. And I wonder, obviously, you were promoted into that role. You've been with Microsoft for a number of years prior to holding your current role. And I wonder if you could tell me a bit about the way in which you sort of took on this role when you achieved your promotion and to what extent you were balancing sort of continuity of the programs you were already leading and putting forward versus an agenda for change of some sort.
First, let me hit on what changed for us that prompted me to drive a different kind of a direction for IT. So the whole tech industry is changing at a phenomenal pace right now. And Microsoft obviously needed to do the same and really accelerate a lot of what we were doing as a company. That drove the need for us in IT to change the pace that we worked and really look what we could do to enable a faster pace within the company. And that was balanced on top of keeping everything going while we set out on this new, the new mission to transform us to be a platform and productivity company in a cloud-first, mobile-first world. So we had a mission in IT that was create tomorrow, deliver today. And that helped focus the team on what we were doing to enable this new transformation for the company, but also make sure that we continued to keep everything running and continue to execute on all that was happening across the business to begin with.
Obviously, as someone who'd been a part of the organization for some time, it's not as though you were joining a new company and had a new culture to come up to speed on. But I'm curious how you prepared for your new role, what sorts of steps you took as you were preparing to ascend to the role of CIO.
Well, so actually, let me tell the story of how it happened. I actually was just coming back to my office from a meeting, and I got a phone call, and it was Kevin Turner's assistant. And she said, can you come over to Kevin's office right now? And I, I said, of course, is there any context? And she said, no, you'll find out when you get here. And so when your boss's boss gives you one of those kind of calls, you kind of drop everything and head over. And so I got over to Kevin's building. He told me that, you know, Tony, for personal reasons, and maybe you just talked to him on the same forum, but Tony had decided that he needed to leave. And what they were going to do was make me the interim CIO while they went and did a search. And, you know, being an interim in a role like this is always interesting. You have to balance, you know, working with your peers and figuring everything out. But I pulled everybody together and I said, at this time of change for us in Microsoft, we can't afford for IT to stall. So I'm going to play the role of CIO and let's see what we can do to go drive the change agenda that we have. And everybody rallied together. And I think we made more progress than everybody was expecting us to make over the next 6 months. And then they asked me to play the role permanently. I think because of the progress that the whole team made.
That's excellent. Can you talk a bit about some of that progress? What were some of the things you decided to drive forward? And how did you do so at a faster rate than what was expected?
First, I think they picked me to play the interim role because I had played almost every role across IT. You know, I had run, you know, IT in our international sites in Asia from Tokyo, in our Europe, Middle East, and Africa from London for a couple of years each. I had run our infrastructure teams. I'd run our application teams. I had been our chief information security officer. So I had perspectives across everything. And what we needed to change were both what we could accomplish faster within the organization while we kept things going. But that meant how we engaged with the business. That meant how we adopted the new culture that Satya was driving across, and how we really changed how we defined success for IT so that we could motivate the whole organization to see where we were really going.
And how did you redefine success for IT? What were some of the changes that were necessary?
A lot of the historical metrics that have been used to measure success in IT, you know, deliver on time, on budget, on scope, the application availability, and all of those things, those are kind of table stakes. And we had to change how people measured success from those to the actual business outcomes that we were trying to achieve so that we would no longer measure success of an IT project or the success of how well something was running based on those old metrics. We actually looked at how do we measure the business process that we were impacting, how we measured the end-to-end experience, and we changed our definition of success to match those. So success for a project wasn't deliver on time. It was, did that project achieve the business outcomes that were intended? You know, tying them back to the same metrics that the company was using to measure success in that process.
That's fantastic, and obviously ensures that IT is aligned with the rest of the organization in terms of how value is contributed. You mentioned earlier some of the changes that Satya Nadella put in place early in his tenure in terms of becoming more cloud and mobile-centric, more productivity-oriented, as you put it. Can you talk a bit about how those changes have been reflected then in the way that IT does its work?
Yeah. And let me expand it beyond even Satya new role, because we also had a new chairman of the board. We had a new chief marketing officer. And a lot of the leaders across the company were changing, and each of them impacted us in IT in somewhat different ways. So with John Thompson, our chairman of the board, he comes from the tech industry. He understands security and risk and things, and was able to give us kind of a different platform to have that discussion and really be able to accelerate what we needed to do there. Satya looked at the role of IT as a mirror of our enterprise customers. And my interactions almost weekly with Satya tend to be about, you know, how is our experience using our cloud services using our devices? How is all of that working? And are we pushing the right new capabilities with the product teams? And then some of the other leaders, like Chris Capicella, our chief marketing officer, the discussion was more around how do we leverage some of the new capabilities like big data to really change how we work and accelerate some of the progress that we're trying to make with our customer experience and what we can do for our partner channels and what we can do even for the internal experience of employees.
You've brought up a great point, and that is in many ways you can be sort of customer one to the organization. You are a CIO of a big company using a lot of Microsoft's product offering, just as other CIOs, peers of yours, and other big companies are doing the same. Does that give you an opportunity to be sort of an empathetic ear or even advisor, for that matter, with some of the customers that Microsoft has?
Absolutely. And it's a big customer advocate role that, you know, Satya has reinforced to me. And that we have the typical role of a large enterprise IT organization in driving change and driving the experiences, driving that business impact that I was talking about. But we also have the role here that we call it being Microsoft's first and best customer, first to deploy at scale everything that we're doing, but also best customer in being that advocate for other enterprise customers to really make the experience be stitched seamlessly across to make sure that we have all the capabilities that we need. That's actually a fun part of being in IT and in a tech company. Really enjoy that.
And to what extent, you know, as you are one of those organizations that actually cut across all of Microsoft, I mean, you breathe life into the plans of many different parts of the organization, whether it's different businesses, different geographies, different segments, perhaps. What are some of the ways that you and your team sort of become kind of the figurative glue across the organization? Are there processes that you've aligned with to try to develop more harmonization across the organization? Are there other ways in which you've thought about being kind of an advocate for more collaboration across what might have been traditional silos of the organization?
Absolutely. Connecting the company is something we talk about to the IT employees as part of our vision and part of our role where we can add a lot of value. And let's face it, Microsoft historically has appeared to the marketplace more as silos than an integrated experience across. So there's a huge role that we're playing in driving that connection across and eliminating those historic seams to create a better customer experience and to simplify some of the things we've had in place. So licensing has been a big area of focus where we've taken the historic license agreements that came from different teams, worked even with our legal teams across every group to take what used to be over 100-page agreements and bring that down to 8 pages, which is industry best practice for that. And something we've been asked to do for a while in simplifying the licensing process. So there's a lot of things that we're doing there, reduce the product launch time, at the pace that the product teams are trying to go. We've had to do a lot to help simplify their processes and streamline their processes to drive up quality, increase speed. And you know, we've had significant build time improvement. We've had significant simplification of our launch processes that really help enable that success for the whole company.
Excellent. I'm curious, what are some of the things, now that you have lost the interim title, you are the permanent CIO, I wonder, what are some of the things now that are on your roadmap, on your strategic plan? What are the things that you're driving the team to do in the months ahead?
One of the things that we're still working on is the integration of the Nokia devices team, which is the biggest acquisition that Microsoft's ever done. The integration itself and how we've incorporated the capabilities that we were acquiring and all that we intended from that has actually gone even better for us than we had expected. But we still have a lot to do to simplify the portfolios and drive that integration. We also have this transformation that we're doing of the business model of Microsoft being more usage-based than revenue license-based, and really helping to enable all of our supporting systems across all of the product teams, all of our channels, all of our customer segments, you know, to all geos. That work is a huge piece of focus for my team. And some things to enable the experience more seamlessly for customers and partners, but also for internal employees. That's a huge part of the initiative that we're pushing. There are a lot of the trends that are happening that in the industry that excite me. Let me just give three that are things that I think we can make a big difference on. One of them is big data and how we can leverage machine learning to really drive new insights. So we've done things like look at all of the sales opportunity data historically and build a machine learning model over that to predict success of an opportunity so that we can both better give our salespeople a better idea of where to focus, or our partner channels a better idea of where to focus, so that we're not bugging customers in places that aren't good, but also to help automate things that we've historically done, like sales forecasting, and create a more predictable view of that whole process. So big data machine learning is the first one. The second one that's fun for us in IT is really enabling the bring your own device capability, which isn't really a cost-saving initiative for IT, because there's more that we need to do to enable that experience. But there's a number of things that we're doing there to really make it a seamless experience across any device. Our implementation of Intune as part of the Enterprise Mobility Suite that Microsoft has to manage all sorts of devices. And you know, that included, as we're doing the acquisition of Nokia, they had been using a competitor from a mobile device management perspective. So we got to go in and compare how that was and migrate them off of the competitor onto Intune and really see that we had the same capabilities or better in that process. And being able to go through and enable that experience is something that excites us. And the third one is the whole trend around digitization. And for me, that's maybe the most fun, in playing a bigger role in the company to drive that digitization agenda than I ever would have expected. In fact, if I could go back and give the me that was sitting in Kevin's office just finding out that I was going to be interim CIO advice, it would be to not think that I had some of the constraints over what we could accomplish from an IT perspective, and to really think about the impact that we could assert in driving the digitization agenda. And I think we would have made faster progress had I not had some self-imposed constraints for what IT could influence within the company. I think we'd be even farther along had I learned that earlier.
That's really interesting. It actually brings me to another area that I hope to cover. There are a number of organizations that understandably leverage interim CIOs before naming a permanent person, whether it's bringing someone in, a seasoned executive who's already semi-retired, who's coming in only in the intent of being an interim, to bringing somebody on to sort of gauge their abilities and ensure that, in fact, they're the right person for the role. And from the outset, there is at least the possibility that they would stick as a full-time CIO. Obviously, that was your path. But I wonder, for others who might follow you, who might be either promoted to interim CIO or brought in from the outside to be an interim CIO, who themselves hope to get the permanent post as you have, what advice would you offer them in terms of how to organize themselves, how to prove success in order to hit the kinds of milestones to show one's colleagues that, in fact, they are ready to go from interim to permanent post CIO?
The biggest piece of advice that I would give on this is forget that there is such a thing as interim. Make sure that the team understands that you need to play the role of CIO, not the role of interim CIO, until they determine who the new CIO will be. Because you're not going to prove yourself if you're acting as interim. You're going to prove yourself if you're acting as CIO and making decisions and pushing agendas in that role, because that's what they're going to evaluate you against. Are you the kind of CIO that they need as a company? And I think that was the biggest thing for me, was I didn't act like I was interim.
That makes perfect sense, absolutely. Not to get too caught up in the fact that this might be short term, but actually think longer term, and hopefully your actions will in fact lead others to see you as the longer term solution as well. Makes very good sense.
I actually didn't believe that I was going to be the CIO. I just knew what we needed to do. And so we went and did that, and I was prepared to hand over the reins. But I think because I acted like I was the person that they saw that they could do it.
You mentioned that before you took on this role, you had such a wide variety of past responsibilities. You've operated in multiple geographies. You've had infrastructure and applications roles. You also were CISO, as you mentioned, the Chief Information Security Officer. And actually, I want to hit briefly on that one, if you don't mind. CIOs, I've always felt, have the kind of unenviable task of balancing innovation, which is all about risk-taking by its fundamental nature, versus security and other kinds of risk mitigation responsibilities. And I know that can be a tricky balance to strike, because if one of those goes too far, if one of those weighs in too heavily, then there's the possibility the other is not going to thrive in the way that it should. Either you're taking on too much risk or not enough and simply not innovating on behalf of your organization. So as somebody who has had roles explicitly with one of those in mind before, and now you sit in a post where you need to balance both, I wonder if you have any sort of new perspectives on how best to do so.
Absolutely. I believe they asked me to be our CISO at the time because I complained the most about security, the exact point of your question. What I learned is that there's more of a synergy in the two outcomes that you're looking for than not. And security is going to be better if it's easier for the employees to make it work. If it's really onerous and cumbersome, then people will find ways to work around it, which circumvent the controls that you're trying to have in place. So what I found in doing the role, and I've since brought in the guy that I think is probably the best CISO in the industry, is Brett Arsenal, to actually be a security expert and do that. But I learned a ton in that role about how to balance risk and really think about risk the right way, as it's a business decision as well as everything else. But you got to make sure you get that visibility of risk to the right place and understand the experience that you're trying to drive with security as part of that, so that people aren't incented to go around the controls that you're putting in place. And that helps us be more secure than we would be otherwise.
Great insights, Jim. Well, Jim Dubois, thank you so much for joining us in the Forum on World Class IT, sharing your perspectives and your experiences and your post as CIO of Microsoft. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.